This is PFW in progress.
Census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, wait. Was he a great big fat person?
Paul Perillo.
Why don't you ask me about Buffalo Bill?
You should come here. You can do this damn radio show.
Buffalo Bill, what a naughty boy he is. Do you know why he's called Buffalo Bill? Please tell me.
Very excited to be a Dallas Cowboy.
And Andy. And Andy?
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told. It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Andy Hart.
Now it places the lotion in the basket. It places the lotion in the basket.
What the f***? Lotion in the basket!
Some guy named Tom.
Oh, he's a monster. Pure psychopath. So rare to capture one alive. From a research point of view, our most prized asset.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Was she a large girl?
Yes.
Bakes for the hips? Romy? What else?
She had an object deliberately inserted into her throat.
PFW in progress.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
I gotta wash my hands throughout the entire line of open there. I think finally you've taken it a step too far. And of course, if we've taken it a step too far, that can only mean one thing, Andy. PFW in progress is underway, minus a couple of key components to the show, I might add. Paul Perillo and Andy Hart with you, Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale not here today, so we'll let the listeners decide
if that's a good thing or not.
Tom actually had something removed from his throat for mouth region.
For his mouth. Yeah, Tom's recuperating from some oral surgery. Well, Fred, we don't know where Fred is.
No, but according to Gary, he didn't sound happy. So,
Fred's a very important man.
He is. He has lots of meetings and stuff.
And leather-bound books.
And the way that his department has been growing over the last couple weeks to months, it seems like every day I see a new face in the lunchroom or a new face that is, quote, under the PFW Fred umbrella.
Umbrella. Well, I got to be honest. The only thing that really takes away from the show for me is my ability to eat my pizza while I'm, you know, we start the show, and now that I have to kind of step into the host seat and talk a little
Due to some graphic violence, viewer discretion is advised.
Gary, what the heck is that? How are sound bites coming on when you're not in that room? That was weird.
I'll tell you, we're just a mere minutes into the show, and we're already having all kinds of issues. But
would be really funny if it was the circus music on its own.
we are up and underway. Webradio at patriots.com is the best way to reach us and join in on our witty banter here. Webradio at patriots.com. You can also give us a call at 508-543-7482. Again, it's Andy Hart and Paul Perillo with you. Not a whole lot of riveting news to report. We had a big show last week.
Really big show.
Kind of recapping the draft. We did have a couple of signings that we should probably mention for those of you not up to date on the latest Patriots transactions. A pair of veteran linebackers have signed with the team, Barry Gardner and Jeremy Lloyd. Gardner is more of a veteran. He's I think it's his eighth season, if I'm not mistaken. I
believe so.
He has played with Philadelphia as well as Cleveland and the Jets last year.
110 games, I think.
Yeah, some starting experience, about 24 starts. Some starting experience. And I believe that he was involved in Philadelphia with the original departure of Jeremiah Trotter. He was, when Trotter left, I think Gardner kind of stepped in and, Trotter's a pretty good player. He wasn't able to fill the void there as well as the Eagles had hoped. But he is a guy that has some experience, also has played some special teams. Lloyd is a young guy. It's only his third season. He's only had two recruit seasons, which tells me that, he wasn't really that highly thought of because...
Right. And he doesn't have a single defensive statistic to his
name.
Yeah,
he has 10 special teams tackles in his career. He's played parts of three seasons, but he only has two accrued seasons under his belt. And, like I said, with only two, he was being an exclusive rights guy, so that means that the team obviously didn't, deem him worthy of even bringing back. So I would expect this to be a little bit, like the Monty Beisel and Wesley Mallard situation. from last year. Beisel being more of a veteran, the way Gardner is, and only not quite as much experience as Gardner has, and Mallard being the short tenured exclusive special teamer that Lloyd is. Lloyd, by the way, Andy, L-O-Y-D, not two L's like
L-O Cool J,
has been in the paper quite frequently.
Oh, really? They screwed it up in the paper?
Oh, yeah. A couple of different papers.
That's typical.
Absolutely. So that's basically that's the bulk of the news right there. I would say.
Well, they also made the 15 rookie free agents official.
That's true.
Officially announced
that's
the
true.
List.
The guys that Andy had told you about right here on this very program last week were made official. Was there a couple more?
Okay. Remy Iadelli was not on the list, I believe, that I read. And a guy that I don't really know how to say his name. It's like something Drame, D-R-A-M-E.
Tupe Pico?
No, but it's a weird name.
I just like saying that name, G.
But you know, other than that, it was the main list that we knew, and still the biggest name would be Freddie Roach, who, you know, you talk to some people, and he can play. He was productive. But some anywhere from 4.8 and change on a 40 time to some people had his 40 time in the low 5 flats, you know, Paul Perillo-type range for 40, and that's never a good thing when a guy's a young player looking to make a roster. And he has some injury concerns, wore a huge knee brace at Alabama.
I'm sorry, what did you run the 40 in when you did the combine?
A 4.6.
That would be a 5.6.
4.6.
No, when you ran the combine.
I'm talking about high school.
Oh, okay.
Pre-knee injury, I was 4.6. Even ran a 4.58 at one point.
That's 4.6.
4.58. No, that's 4.58. That's how it works. So, but yeah, and they'll all be in town Friday, Saturday, Sunday, rookie minicamp, Gillette Stadium. Paul Perillo and Tom Casale will have full coverage on Patriots.com while I am vacationing.
There's a big surprise.
They changed the schedule.
They'll leave when the work needs to be done.
It's always the weekend after the draft, and it isn't this year. They're one of a handful of teams that it's the second weekend. The majority had it last week.
I don't know why that is. I really haven't had anybody officially tell me why.
The rule is the camp has to take place within, I believe it's 15 days
of the draft.
And, yeah, I don't really know why.
No. Because they're all excused to come to minicamp, even if they have finals and
right. All
that stuff. You know, I really don't get it. But, anyway.
Could it have something to do with getting more out of the minicamp because you give them maybe their playbook right after the draft, ship your playbook out to them, and it gives them more time to digest it before coming in to put it in on the football field?
That makes as much sense as anything. I really haven't.
Does it usually not happen that you have a second weekend there? Does it, because of the calendar year, somehow does it usually bump it into another?
Yeah, I thought there was a year, and I'm pretty sure it was 2 years ago, but I'm not positive. We checked back last year, and it was definitely the week after, like normal last year. I think there was a week, a year that the draft fell a week before Easter, and they didn't do it that way. They waited a week that year. But I'm not really sure exactly why they did it this way now, other than, you know, something like you just said.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that'd be a good question to ask Bill Belichick.
But anyway,
a good harmless question that he'd probably answer.
I will be there on Saturday, and I will have some updates on Patriots.com. Tom will be here on Sunday doing the same. So that's rookie mini camp, and you know it's not a major thing. You don't see the guys don't have pads on. There's not a lot of activity, but you do get a chance to see them out there running some plays. You get to check out some athleticism. You know, the ball gets thrown around and caught, so, you know, the quarterbacks, although there's no draft pick quarterbacks, Corey Bramlett will be one of the rookie free agents. I'm not sure. Todd Mortensen's over in Europe, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, so Corey Bramlett will be doing all the throwing, and, you know, there's some young wide receivers, most notably Chad Jackson.
Nick Caserio, probably do some throwing.
Probably will get some throwing in over the week, over the weekend, no
pro
question.
Pro personnel, is that his title? Pro personnel.
Director of pro personnel.
But as always, when they are low on quarterbacks, he's a former college athlete, and he throws the ball around for him pretty well, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Probably better than Flutie did last year in training. Oh, why did I have to do that? Why did I have
to do
that?
It's true, so it's okay.
No. So we will have that covered for you this weekend. And again, it's not like, you know, you're just looking for, you know, some kind of first impression,
right.
But it's not anything that you can truly judge on, you
but
know.
There are things. But Chad Jackson, you can see, wow, he's got good hands.
I like to look at Lawrence Maroney,
same thing. Wow, he's got good hands.
Hands and feet. Basically
Mincy. Oh, look at, he can turn and run with Lawrence Maroney in that drill.
And I remember a couple of years ago we were talking about, you know, Tully Bantakane at that, you know, and we were saying, well, you know, he has the kind of athleticism that you would think he'd be able to make this transition. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean anything whether he does or not, but you can see hands and feet. You can see which guys have quick, good hands and quick feet. And
the kicker.
And we have a rookie kicker that we can judge. You know, obviously, that's the same no matter what. He's kicking the ball through the uprights, and you can tell if it goes through or how it goes through.
See how strong his, quote, strong leg is and all that.
So that's some of the things that we'll be looking at over the weekend. You know, other than that, we're getting ready to approach a pretty down time. There'll be some passing camps going on here after that, some passing camps going on at Gillette Stadium that the media is not invited to attend. So we will not have any updates on the goings-on there. And that leads up to the one mandatory full squad minicamp, which is, I believe, June 14th or June 13th, and for somewhere around the same time in May, in June. I think it's a Friday, Saturday, 13th and 14th kind of deal. And then from there on, they have about 6 weeks to themselves. You know, that's pretty much signifies the end of the off-season program. And we head on to crunch time. The coaches go down in their bunkers and get some rest and relaxation before the start of training camp, which, you know, is late July. And that's basically the schedule of events coming up here in the immediate future around Foxborough. Not a lot to report in terms of any changes to the roster other than what we mentioned. June 1st is starting to come here. I'm not sure.
Big day for Fred Kirsch.
Yeah, I'm not sure who will be available, if anybody. You know, Andy doesn't believe, you don't believe anybody would be available. I don't either. I agree.
There might be a couple, but I don't think you.
I'm talking about anybody of substance.
Anybody that's going to really change the face of your roster. I would say in terms of the roster right now, the biggest question is, you know, the Doug Flutie backup quarterback. Is Flutie going to retire, or does he want to come back? Is he welcome back? And if not, who will they sign? Because I'd be shocked if they don't sign a veteran quarterback before the start of training camp. One name.
Oh, I love Doug.
That I've always thrown out there is the Jay Fiedler. Bills obviously was very much a Jay Fiedler fan in the past when he was in Miami, just a winner. And apparently he's about ready to start throwing, excuse me, as he rehabs from the shoulder injury that he had last year. And I guess the Giants are a team that are interested, but until he throws, I don't know that anybody will be willing to sign him.
How important do you think having a veteran is? I mean, said you expect them to sign one. I mean, you wouldn't feel good if Matt Castle's here and, you know, somebody else of Matt Castle's ilk is the third guy.
No. I think Matt Castle showed some things last year. I still want a veteran on the roster.
Okay, if that veteran's on the roster, we talked about this a little bit last week. How do you play it? Do you play long term, let Castle play, short term?
Pretty much.
Do whatever you can.
Yeah.
You know.
If Brady goes down in the third quarter of a game that's neck and neck that, you know, you need to win, I'm bringing in a veteran who's been in there before in that situation. And then you find out later, oh, Brady's going to be out 6-8 weeks. You know, we have a problem. Then I might be inclined to play Castle. I'm not sure how confident I would be in Matt Castle thrown into the fire in a third, fourth quarter of a 3-point ball game against a good football team. That's when I would want my veteran coming off the bench. I'd have a lot more confidence in Matt Castle putting him out there from minute one of a game,
right,
allowing him to get into the feel of the game, not, I need a first down on this play. Can I get it through Matt Castle's arm? You know, I want a veteran to fill that type of a role. And that's nothing against Matt Castle. I've been very, very much impressed with everything I've seen from Castle. I think everything Tom Brady had to say about Matt Castle last week, that he's going to be a very good quarterback in this league, is a positive thing. I don't think Brady just throws that around if he doesn't believe it to some degree. I think he likes Matt Castle and has been impressed with how quickly he's developed for a guy who really didn't play in college. So, you know, I think everything that coaches, players, teammates, and we've seen is positive, but that doesn't mean I don't think you need a veteran on the roster. I think you're going to have to find somebody. Now, maybe that's not Jay Fiedler. Maybe he won't be ready in time for the season to be that guy in the fourth quarter and come in immediately and contribute. If not, there are other names out there. I don't know. You know, Kerry Collins is still out there. Shane Matthews, I guess, is another name. Tommy Maddox. There are veteran starting type quarterbacks out there.
Vinny Testaverde?
He's like as old as you, isn't he?
He's a lot older than I am, my friend.
Yeah, I got no interest in any quarterback that's older than Paul Perillo. That's why I don't like Doug Flutie. That's why I don't like Vinny Testaverde. Is there any good quarterbacks older than you? Warren Moon's not around anymore. He was still good at an old age, right?
Wasn't that good.
He wasn't. When he got up, what are you, 42 now?
No. You're well off there.
Anyway, yeah, I want a veteran quarterback, bottom line.
Now, here's my question for you. Do you think that Belichick will do... everything you just said, I somewhat agree with. If you bring back a... If you bring another guy, if you bring a veteran guy in here, you know, short term, I think that maybe a veteran guy might give you a better chance to win, and therefore he might opt to go that way. But long term, you might say, well, the season might be lost here. But I don't think Belichick would look at it that way. I think that regardless, he would play the guy he thought gave him a best chance to win.
I do too.
So I'm not necessarily sure that this whole two scenario thing works. I can understand.
Oh, but I'm not so sure Matt Castle's not. I think he's impressed a lot of people here.
Well, if Matt Castle gives you the best chance to win, then why bring in a veteran quarterback?
Well, first, you need a third quarterback. Corey Bramlett, I don't think, is going to be your third quarterback.
Well, I don't think so either, but you can bring anybody in to be a third quarterback.
In all likelihood, it's going to be a veteran. I mean, because that's what's out there right now. A decent young quarterback's not really out there. We're not looking to have the rebirth of Rohan Davey here. But I think there's a big difference between starting a game and being thrown in literally on any given play where you need to get a first down. And I think that would be a tough situation to throw Matt Castle into. And I don't think it necessarily says Belichick doesn't believe he can win with Matt Castle. It says, you've never done this. He has never been in a legitimate NFL football game. He has never competed in a play in a legitimate game. Because I don't think he got any of that last year. I'm talking about Brady goes down on second down. It's 3rd and 7. We're at the 45-yard line. We need to get a first down. We need to get into field goal range here. And the blitz is coming off the... I just don't think he's ever experienced it.
Well, if he's the number two guy, he's coming in. Because the number three guy can't. Unless it's the fourth quarter. So that's the way you got to look at that, too. You know, and that's part of the equation. But I think everything you just said, I think there's some logic behind it, and I think there's some reasoning that I would tend to agree with. I just don't think Belichick would look at it that way. I think he would flat out say, I'm going to go with the guy I think gives me the best chance to win. If he thinks that's Castle, I don't think there are, you know, any differences between starting a game and coming in 3rd and 7 to get a first down. I don't think he would look at it that way. If he thinks Castle gives him a better chance than whoever the other guy is, he's going to put Castle in regardless of situation.
Right. But I think there's a big difference. It's not just on how good he is as a young quarterback.
I think that everything you said makes a lot of sense. I'm not arguing with you. I'm telling you, I don't think Belichick would look at it that way.
Oh, I do.
I think he
has a very situational mind. And I think that those are two very different situations.
Well, then you're telling me then he would look at the situation with, you know, his emergency quarterback then. Even if he felt like Castle was his backup, he wouldn't have him as the number two? Because he, you know, just in case he needs, you know, a guy for one play in the first three quarters?
I don't know. But, I mean, that would play into that decision, I would think. And maybe that play doesn't come in the third quarter. Because maybe he says, you know what, I can get him in there and there's still a quarter and a half to play. But maybe it comes in the fourth quarter. I just think he would consider that because the guy's never done it.
No, I'm like I said, I understand what you're saying. I think, first of all, you're diminishing the Miami game a little bit too much. I'm not saying that means he can play, but that was a legitimate NFL game. The other team was playing hard. Mm-hmm. And just because he was playing with guys that won't necessarily be with him, that shouldn't be used against him.
I don't think it's used against him.
I think that's a point in his favor. The other team was playing hard.
Yeah.
Until the end, when they started.
The difference between playing hard against a team that's playing hard with pressure and not having pressure, knowing that your coach wants to lose the football game, must be a bit of a calming factor in a guy's mind.
You think that he had no pressure on him? He's out there trying to earn his life.
On him.
Well, I disagree with that totally. He's fighting for his football life. He's trying to show something. If he doesn't show something in that situation,
I think that's
gone.
The same as the fourth quarter of a tight game.
I didn't say it was the same, Andy.
So he's never done it.
You're diminishing it. You're just saying it was meaningless. It wasn't meaningless. Here I was. I was thinking this was going to be a show with no edge.
This comparison,
we got
meaningless.
I think you're totally way off. It's not a preseason game. The other team had starters on the field.
It was in his
mind. The other team played that game to win.
And he didn't have any pressure on him because
his
coach
wanted to lose. If he failed in that game, there's a good chance he's not even on the roster right now.
I think that's idiotic.
Yeah, it's idiotic. If he can't play,
that they would forget everything else they liked about him because of that game.
If everything that you just said is true and he still couldn't go out and perform, they have confidence in this guy? They have.
You're throwing it away at one game. Gone.
No, what I'm saying, throwing it away.
We'll ignore the 4 months you've been improving.
Don't use your smart guy semantics.
You just said his career would have been over
here. You're telling me there's no pressure on him. If we're going to go use semantics, that's the most ridiculous comment you've ever made. Okay. There's no pressure on a guy who's never played at all. He's getting a chance to play, and you're saying there's no pressure on him. That makes a lot of sense.
None.
So now you're
no pressure.
Look, you just used literal that he's going to be off the roster.
You said he was fighting for his football life and would be gone.
I said he's fighting for his football life, and that's true. Right. Now whether it be off the roster now, he wouldn't be because obviously it doesn't cost him any
money. Corey Bramlett is the backup quarterback here.
Well, no, you have Jay Fiedler here. Phil in Austin's on the phone. He's going to settle this argument for us. Phil.
Hey, Paul.
Any pressure on Matt Cassel, or was it just a totally meaningless situation for him that he had no pressure on him?
Well, I'll tell you what. That airmail 2-point conversion throw, I was thinking back about that at the draft a couple weeks ago. That advanced us 6 places in the draft. If we had won that game, based on the record, we'd have been drafted 27th instead of 21st.
Well, you might also have been drafted 32 because you might have won the Super Bowl.
Well, I don't think that would have affected the result in Denver, but...
But you wouldn't have been there.
What do you mean?
Maybe they wouldn't have had to be there. Who knows?
Yeah. Here's my take on the second quarterback.
Now, you're right. They probably would have had to be there the way it all worked out, but you never know.
I think they want to bring in a guy who could be either the number 2 or the number 3 quarterback, because I think they want to give Cassel a chance to win the number 2 job.
Yeah, now that all Andy and I are 100% in agreement on there. We think that they want Matt Cassel to fight for that number 2 job, and you know, obviously the better he does at that, the better off,
right.
I think the better situation the Patriots are. But Andy and I are in full agreement that more than likely some sort of veteran with some experience is going to come in here and compete for him, with him for that job.
I understand, but you need a veteran who could come in and stick around if they got the number 3 job, if Cassel won the number 2.
Right.
Damon Heward was a guy, you know, Brady beat him out. What was that, 2001 or whatever?
Right, yep.
And he was okay with being number 3. He left after that year, but he didn't put up a stink. I don't know about Jay Fiedler. If Matt Cassel beats him out for the number 2 job, does Jay Fiedler raise a stink at the end of training camp and demand to be released?
He didn't leave after that year.
He left after the next year.
He was here. He was the backup in 2002.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point. I mean, he came in here thinking he was going to be the number 2 guy.
Right, right.
He wound up as the number 3 guy, but didn't throw a stink. I'm not sure Fiedler is that guy.
Why do you say that? Because I really don't know either way. I don't feel like I have a read on that either way. Does he have a history of not...
I don't think he reacted too well to Greasy coming into Miami.
Well, that was different.
Well, okay.
I mean, he's a guy coming off an injury now who's been a backup now for a couple of years. That was a guy coming in to take his job.
Yeah, he lost his starting job there. I don't think he would be coming to New England with any illusions of you know, being able to compete with Tom Brady.
Well, I understand that, but he's probably thinking he's coming in as the number 2 guy.
And plus, the injury might factor into that because he's, you know, a Jim Miller situation where who knows when he starts throwing. He's coming in to work his way into the system, and I think he'd be realistic enough to say, Matt Cassel's been here for a year, and he's fully healthy. So he may start this season as the number 2. That doesn't mean I can't help this team. That doesn't mean I can't move in my role later in the year.
Yeah. I just think that they want to give Cassel a chance to win that job, and they don't want to jeopardize the number 3 quarterback position if some veteran comes in here and gets beat up.
So what would you do?
I'd try and hire Damon Heward again. Where is he?
I think he's still in Kansas City, and I don't think he would want to come back.
I think he'd be the backup, right? Because Collins left.
Well, yeah. Wasn't he actually 4th for a while? I don't know, but he's still in Kansas City, and my impressions when he left were that he wouldn't really be in favor of returning anytime soon.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't. I mean, as much as you think he was comfortable and didn't put up a stink, he wasn't happy.
He wasn't happy.
Yeah, well, Fiedler may, you know, he may be amenable to this situation as well.
I just think guys of that nature, I mean, Jay Fiedler is no longer a team's quarterback. They're not going to build a team around him, and I think he's a smart enough guy to understand that, and if he can extend his career in any role and keep his opportunities open, he's smart enough to take advantage and not create any
that's
kind
a
of
good,
stink.
That's a good point that Andy just made, too, because he has a couple of options, and I agree with him. He's no longer anybody's starting quarterback, anybody's. So he has a couple of options. He can continue to get a paycheck and probably for the foreseeable future as a backup quarterback who has a reputation of being a pretty smart guy, a pretty cerebral approach to quarterback play. Obviously not the most physically gifted guy in the world, so he's been able to get by to this point on his his mental approach to the game more than anything else, which would make, I would think, for an ideal backup. So he has two options. He can either accept that kind of a role where he's going to be a number two guy to somebody, or a number three guy where he's kind of mentoring not the starter but the backup. And or he could say, I'm better than that, and I'm going to go home. And I think those basically he could hold out and try to fight somewhere. Are there 32 quarterbacks in football better than him? Probably not, but there's a chance that he doesn't get another opportunity to be a starting quarterback, and that's might not be fair, but that's the way it works.
Right. Yeah, I think it was Peter King who wrote an article a while back saying that there are a lot of teams looking for a second backup quarterback. So he may feel like his best situation is to go to a team where he might have a chance if somebody gets hurt to move into number one and maybe stay there. I don't think that's the situation in New England.
Sure. Right. No, I think that was his theory last year, going to New York with Chad Pennington.
Yeah.
But then he ended up getting hurt, and now he's in the situation where he's the injured quarterback coming off an injury. That's why I'm just not sure how many teams are going to invest in him as the backup. The Bears, for example, they signed Greasy to back up Grossman. Grossman obviously has the injury history. Brian Greasy is the starter in waiting there. He's getting paid $6 million, I believe, this year, which is like $5.5 million more than Rex Grossman. He's the starter in waiting. I don't think anybody's going to do that with Jay Fiedler at this point in his career and with the injury from last season.
Yeah, Fiedler had a chance to be, he could have started 13 games last year if he was healthy.
Things could be very different,
for him, but he unfortunately got hurt in his first game when he replaced Pennington.
So, if you're looking for a guy to do that, Kerry Collins is out there. I would think he's a more attractive candidate than Jay Fiedler if you're looking for a number two who could be your number one at any point during the year. So I don't think Fiedler's as high on the list as he would have to be to get some of those jobs.
Be a number one.
And this might actually, this is a situation where there's a young guy, so he has a chance to beat out that young guy because he is the experienced veteran on a team. Tom Brady has been very healthy, but we all know at any point quarterbacks miss significant periods of time, and it's a good football team. So now you're talking about a place where he could win if he ends up getting in there and winning the number two job, playing, and all of a sudden he's in the playoffs leading the Patriots. So, there are some positives to the situation as well, depending on how you look at it.
All right, Phil.
Hey, can I ask a question about Ty Law?
Sure. I don't know if we'll be able to answer it, but we'll try.
When they bring a guy in like that, do they make him run? I saw him last year. He looked like he was about 225 towards the end of the year. I would think that before they make any kind of commitment to a guy like that, they want to see what he can run.
Well, I would think that they, they're putting guys through, some sort of workout. Now, with a guy like Ty Law that they have so much familiarity with, I'm not sure exactly how extensive that would be. But, look, we can talk all we want about Ty Law and about how out of shape he was last year, and he was the first one to admit that he was playing heavier than he wanted to be, because he just didn't have a chance to do all of the conditioning work that he normally would for a season because of his foot problem. All that said, he still went out there and had a very competitive season. Now, were passes completed on him? Sure. Were some penalties committed by Ty Law? Yes. He also found a way to do what Ty Law always seems to do, and he made a lot of plays. He had 10 interceptions. And
I don't think Tom Brady thought he looked fat when he was cutting in front of a pass on his way to the end zone against the Patriots.
And no one ran him down 75 yards.
Right.
Maybe Ben Watson wasn't on the field for that one. But and I agree with you. He was definitely overweight, and he definitely looked slow and sluggish. But even with those things being evident, he was still, I thought, a very productive cornerback. And I think it would only stand to reason that he'd be in better shape this year, a year removed from the problem. He probably had a much better opportunity to do his conditioning work. But, you know, I haven't seen him, so I can't say that right. with any certainty.
And the other thing I would throw out there, and I've said this a number of times, he was never a guy who got by on his pure speed. He's a guy who gets by on intelligence, instincts, and all that. So, you know, he might be able to, a guy that gets away with that, and maybe that's why he was able to have 10 picks last year when he was overweight and a little bit hobbled still by the injury. So I think you have to take that into consideration as well.
All right, Phil. We appreciate the call.
Talk to you later.
We'll check back with you next week, I'm sure. But, no, I think the Ty Law situation, I think the Ty Law situation makes a lot of sense. I really do. I think he's a guy that, you know, he obviously knows the program, knows the system. You know, and as importantly, the coaching staff has a good base, you know, of knowledge on the player. Mm-hmm. And he can come in, and you know what you can do with him. You don't have to have any feeling out process, and then you just go. And I think that he makes your theory, Andy, of the trickle-down, he makes everybody better if he's playing anywhere near up to his capabilities.
Trouble is, there are still other teams looking for a corner. And they maybe they're all waiting for Ty Law to say, okay, I'll sign for that, X number of dollars, which is half of what you're looking for, whatever. I'm not sure Ty Law does that. I think he's a proud guy who thinks he's coming off a great year, who thinks he's one of the best in the game and should be paid that way. So I'm not sure he really flinches first. I think there's a better chance a team flinches. I was actually just reading a report out of Tennessee. They've been interested in Ty Law, don't have any cap money right now, but when this Steve McNair situation plays itself out and they either trade or release him, all of a sudden they're going to have the cap money to sign Ty Law if they want him. So that's a team that could all of a sudden give him the money he's looking for.
All right. Well, we're going to hit the emails now, Andy. We got plenty of them coming in at webradio@patriots.com. We're going to let the readers here, the listeners direct us here wherever they want to go. This is something kind of left over from something we were talking about last week when we were talking about booing and, you know, what you should do at games. So Justin checking in. From Alaska, your friend, your good close friend, Justin.
Justin,
which
yes.
Unfortunately you're not going to be able to join him on his tour. Fred Kirsch will have to
handle that.
He says, guys, lively show last week. I'm currently en route, heading east, so I'll have to get the podcast for this week's show when I get back. But a few points. Tom, you said that you see Maroney on kick/punt return duty this year. Would that be wise to use your future feature back on returns? I know that Falk and Pass do return duty from time to time, though when Pass returns kicks, it's like watching cold syrup coming out of a bottle.
Some would say the same thing about Falk.
But they were never our feature backs.
And I can't get up!
If Maroney gets hurt while playing running back, then that's the breaks. But if he gets hurt returning a kick, to me, that's harder to justify, hurting your main running back on return duty, don't you think? What do you think on that, Andy?
I don't think he's the main running back yet, and I'm not sure he will be. So, as a backup running back, athlete, I have no problem with him.
Yeah, if something were to happen to Corey Dillon and you're going into a game with Lawrence Maroney as the guy you're intending to give the ball to 25 times,
right,
then I understand this mentality.
But until then, despite the fact that he's a first-round pick, he's a young rookie who needs to earn his role on the team. If he has talents at kick returner that I can use to help benefit the team, then he's out there.
I expect him to be a kick returner this year, by the way. If you disagree, can you name me a team that uses their main back for return duty? Or perhaps you're saying only this year for Maroney's special teams adventure. I could have misheard you. If so, never mind. Yes, that
happens
is
a lot. Happens a lot with wide receivers, guys who are drafted and are like the team's third, fourth option as a rookie. They're returning kicks. All of a sudden, they have 60, 70 catches, and they're a one or two. They're not returning kicks anymore, even though they're really good. Even though they may be the best at it, the team says, you know what? It's not worth the risk.
Okay, now he's directing his attention to me now. Paul,
you're an idiot.
Really enjoy your insights, but booing is as much a part of a fan's life as pot is to Ricky Williams's. To say that you can only boo a player if you have a legitimate reason would be like saying you can only cheer a touchdown.
That's definitely accurate.
You can only cheer a touchdown if you truly understand why we scored. I don't quite get that analogy, by the way.
I like it.
And I didn't say that you can only boo if you have a legitimate reason. You can boo whenever you want. I just don't think it makes any sense.
He just thinks you should never boo.
No, for no reason. That's all I'm saying.
I have reason. I hate.
Well, yeah, that's a reason.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, let's listen into Paul. This is kind of funny. Let's listen into Paul at a Pats game. Paul, why are you cheering? Fan, we just scored. Paul, yes, do you know why we scored? Fan, Brady to Jackson, baby, 60 yards. Paul, no, that's the result, not the reason. The reason is because during Tuesday's practice, Belichick noticed when watching Dolphins game film that when their Mike linebacker shifted to the right, when we were in a four wide, that the strong side safety would fall into cover two zone. Now, any fan knows that a cover two zone split will cause the left corner to adjust to the weak side. Paused with disgusted look. You're lost, aren't you? Fan, I like beer. Paul, exactly. So sit down, shut up. I can't hear Gil over your yelling. That's very good, Justin. And finally, he finishes off his email. Do you guys think that Belichick's defensive success comes more from deception, meaning the quarterback sees one thing on the field pre-snap when it's actually something else, or confusion, meaning the quarterback has no freaking clue what he's looking at?
Yeah, I think their defense is
Del Rio.
What do you think on that, Andy?
Deception versus confusion. I would say both. I'd say more confusion because you've heard a lot of quarterbacks say you see something and then it's not what you think it is, so I guess that would be confusion. I think those two are very interrelated,
yeah,
deception and confusion.
He would call that deception, what you just said, though.
Oh, okay.
The quarterback sees one thing and then it's actually something else.
Okay.
Whereas confusion means he just really doesn't have any idea what he's looking
at. Well, no. I don't think there's any quarterback who goes out there and has no idea what they're looking at.
Right. Not
even Drew.
Not even Drew.
But they see something, and then when the play unfolds, it doesn't unfold. Because it's not that they don't understand where the guy is lined up then. It's that they think he's going to drop into a certain spot or do a certain thing, and he doesn't. So I guess it's deception. I'll go with. Although I think I still say they're both pretty close.
All right.
Rohan Davey might have been really confused at times.
Jason, that's
Michael Bishop.
Good stuff. Too bad Jason won't be listening live this week, but he'll catch us on the podcast. And if you're not listening to us live, then you have to be calling us up on the podcast, Andy.
Because, true.
And something in store. We have a possibility. Maybe down the road we're going to have some sponsorship for the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can start feeding our fat faces while we're doing it.
Because you've really been struggling in that area.
I have, because you made me host the show, and I noticed that you ate all of Fred's roast beef sandwich while caressing your pasta over there like, you know, it's your long-lost son.
That roast beef really hit the spot because this pasta wasn't very good.
Okay. All right. Russ is next up. He's from Canton, Mass. He has two questions. First, I heard rumblings a few weeks back that Donnie Edwards might be traded from San Diego. I have a feeling he could possibly be released June 1st. Do you think he would be a good linebacker fit or another Chad Brown? Andy Hart.
Somewhere in the middle. I don't think he's a good fit for the system, but I think he has more left in the tank than Chad Brown did. I just think he's more of a run-around, smallish, you know, very productive, but not a 3-4, two-gap, you know, take-on-guards kind of linebacker, so I'm not sure how well he would fit in the system.
Now, I don't know how San Diego plays in terms of two gaps or whatever, but they do play a 3-4.
No, I know.
And he has been very productive in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes a guy kind of breaks away from the mold a little bit, and I think Donnie Edwards is one of those guys. He's an excellent pass coverage linebacker. He's always been one of those guys that fills the stat sheet. He always has multiple interceptions, multiple forced fumbles and fumble recoveries, stuff like that. He's one of those guys I think that Belichick would have some fun using. I really think that he would be a fit. I really
could. And if I have more interest if he's released than I do trying to make a trade.
I agree.
Because I thought Roman Pfeiffer was, I mean, if we all remember, I didn't think he could play inside linebacker, and he did.
Perfect example.
You know, I'm not saying I'm always right in these, or it's just, I mean, there are certain types.
Whatever.
The guy has to be good enough to get past the limitations he might have physically, and sometimes it's hard to tell that.
His second question is, he's seen some highlights of Jeremy Mincy. Do you think he is a couple-of-year project, or does he have a legitimate shot to contribute right away at linebacker?
Paul, I'll let you answer that.
That's almost impossible to answer, though, and I'm not trying to blow it off.
Maury?
Well, who knows how he's going to fit and how fast the transition is going to be. You know, I think that he's definitely making a transition from defensive line to linebacker. Now, I talked last week, and I did get to talk to his position coach at Florida, and he said that they actually have used him somewhat like a defensive end slash outside linebacker. He has dropped in coverage from time to time in some fire zones, and covered even some wide receivers occasionally. So he has the athleticism. He has the feet, obviously, to do some of that stuff, or they wouldn't have been doing it with him in college. So I would say there's a chance that he makes a fairly quick, transition, to the whole thing. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to do it, and that doesn't mean he has the talent.
Well, see, I go
to be able to step right in and do it.
See, I think there's a better chance he has the talent and the physical tools to do it, and you just never know how the mental, the reactions, the instincts, the understanding, the defenses comes along. Because I think the talent, the terms of physical, the footwork, the speed, all that, I think that's something that Bill Belichick and his scouts look at and can get a much better read on. But now he has to be able to take that and put it to use on the football field at the snap of a finger in a half a second when he's reading a tight end and a running back and what they're doing. And I think that's something that could take a lot longer to come, and that's the unknown, because he might get it. He might be a tremendous football mind,
right,
and get it a couple weeks in, and all of a sudden you're watching him progress day by day, or it could be a slow, gradual, wow, this is a lot different than lining up with my hand on the ground and rushing off the edge or something like that.
And that's why I started off the whole thing by saying it's really impossible to tell, because you just have no way of knowing how a guy is going to do that without him actually doing it for a little while, and then you try to make an evaluation off that. You know,
I think, don't you have
one of the guys I'll be watching
a while? You don't assume he's going to be your starting outside linebacker.
First of all, I'm not even assuming he's going to make the team.
Wow. Never,
I mean, he's a sixth-round pick, Andy. I mean, I'm not, I think...
Somebody's going to make this team.
I think he has a chance to be one of those guys, one of those second-day picks that maybe was a little bit more valuable to the Patriots and what they want to do with guys like this than with some other teams. I do think that. I think if you had to ask me, you know, my gut feeling today on May 10th, yes, I think he'll be on the team this year. But that doesn't mean he'll be, you know, a lock for any playing time or any significant playing time at that. So, well, he'll be a guy that I'll be watching a little bit over the weekend just to see him move around and see how he does with that. But again, I think Andy's right. You can't really say for sure how a guy's going to fit in this quickly. You just have no way of knowing.
I mean, the example I keep using is for a number of different levels. People say, oh, you know, there was an SPFW that proposed a theory that with all the defensive players being drafted, the Patriots looked around and said some teams are going to have to cut some veterans to keep these young defensive players, and the Patriots will be able to swoop in, sign those veterans, and they'll be key contributors on this defense. Well, Chad Brown was as experienced as anybody, had played in a 3-4, had played in a couple different systems, had a dozen years in the league, and he struggled to learn the defense over an offseason. Why do we just assume that A, a rookie, or B, some other veteran is going to get cut on June 1st or get cut in August, and he's going to sign with the Patriots and be able to contribute right away? I mean, I think it's been proven that this defense can be pretty difficult to learn, and it can cost people months and maybe even seasons in terms of contributions when they're not mentally able to get acclimated to the whole scheme.
Absolutely. We'll move on to the next email.
It's a very astute point.
779. 779-0850. We'll take James's email. We'll take James's email, and then we'll pause for a quick break so I can finish my pizza. I'm not going to make any bones about it. That's what I want to do. James is in, Roanoke Rapids? Where's James nowadays?
Roanoke Rapids, right?
Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. And he says, first of all, he apologizes. This is nice of James. This is why he's a Hall of Famer. Sorry I have not emailed here as of late. I've been working on my computer and trying to get it back to where it is trouble-free. I would be so busy working on that I would forget about the time and would miss catching your show and when it was live. I sent you an email last week, but it was during the second hour, and you never got to it, so I thought I'd send it again before this show starts. It did look like the Patriots had their usual good draft and did get some players who can fill in where the team seemed to be a bit thin on the offensive side of the ball. It was not surprising to see them go for a running back with their first pick. You just have to look at the ages of all the backs on the roster to know they had to get younger, and only time will tell if the guy they chose will be a good one. Oh, yes, I hope you all got a chance to see Tom Brady on In Their Own Words. Did you see this?
I don't even know what In Their Own Words is.
On NFL Network last week.
I have no idea.
It was so refreshing to finally have a Patriots player on that show and not have to listen to the same in-your-face players that are so high on themselves. I'm not saying all of them were on players and coaches like that, but a majority were.
I'm also wicked handsome.
I don't, I don't know what that show is because I don't really watch the NFL Network that much. Here is the current schedule and future subjects. Schedule profiles airing Tuesday at 9 p.m. are Michael Strahan on April 11th, Chad Johnson April 18th.
That might be one of those said players who's high on himself.
Jake Plummer, April 25th. Ooh. Tom Brady, May 2nd.
Woohoo! Everyone sucks but me.
Donovan McNabb, May 9th. So that was yesterday. Jerome Bettis, May 16th. Future subjects include Bill Walsh. No dates listed for these guys. Bill Walsh, Teddy Bruschi, Dennis Green, Dan Marino, Derek Brooks, Anquan Boldin, Dick Vermeil, Bill Belichick.
Okay, thanks. We'll see you tonight.
Bill Cowher, Rodney Harrison, Jack Del Rio, and
Drew Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe. In their own words, includes encore presentations each Friday at 9 p.m.
You should come here and you can do this damn radio show.
Well, I wonder if James is affiliated at all with, in their own words, on NFL Network, because he certainly sent that out like it was a press release, didn't he? Good job, James. We'll try to keep an eye out for those in the future.
If he is affiliated, my recommendation would be to petition to Comcast to get NFL Network included in the 48 to 52 range where all the other sports channels are, because I'd have a much better chance of actually seeing it, because I rarely skip through the mid-260s, and it's 265 on mine.
I believe, yeah.
So if you pop that baby right at 53, which I believe now is like the Spanish or some non-English channel, I'd probably have a good chance of watching when I scan through those channels looking for sports coverage.
All right. So, G.
You just happened to come from Mexico.
We got plenty of emails lined up. We're looking for some more. Webradio@patriots.com. Again, webradio@patriots.com. Andy Hart, Paul Perillo will be with you for PFW and Products.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Rams.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
There it is! Gillette Stadium explodes!
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the revolution.
Hi, this is Taylor Twellman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy. The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Touchdown! Tom Brady launches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
The census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, wait. Was he a great big fat person?
Paul Perillo.
Why don't you ask me about Buffalo Bill?
You should come here. You can do this damn radio show.
Buffalo Bill. What a naughty boy he is. Do you know why he's called Buffalo Bill? Please tell me.
Very excited to be a Dallas Cowboy.
And Andy. And Andy?
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told. It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Andy Hart.
Now it places the lotion in the basket. It places the lotion in the basket.
What the f***? Lotion in the basket!
Some guy named Tom.
Oh, he's a monster. Pure sight. So rare to capture one alive. From a research point of view, our most prized asset.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Was she a large girl?
Yes.
Big for the hips? Romy? What else?
She had an object deliberately inserted into her throat.
PFW in progress.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
All right, we're back. And, wait. And we're back.
We're waiting.
I had to do the Fred Kirsch return from break.
When did Maury Povich become Jerry Springer? I always thought, like, a long time ago, he was like the cerebral, like, high class. And all of a sudden, I flipped to it today, and the guy hopes he didn't ruin his marriage by having sex with his fiancée's sister.
Was that wrong?
You did.
As George Costanza would say, was that wrong? Should I not have had sex with the cleaning lady in the office? Because if I had known that there was policy against that, I never would have done it. No. But as far as Maury Povich goes, since he's had a talk show, it's been...
Is he still married to Connie Chung?
Well, I guess that's on the rocks right now.
What does she do these days?
I'm not as far up on my current kind of celebrity nonsense gossip, but I think that there's trouble there. I think I remember seeing something about that recently. So let us know. Webradio at patriots.com. Maury Povich, Connie Chung. Are they on the outs?
She's like the serious host of CBS News.
No disrespect to the Orientals.
I cheated on you with 20 women.
All right. Ready for the second half of PFW in progress. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. Possibly being joined by Lori Baranski at some point.
Does she have something in her throat?
Oh, Andy.
It's Gary.
Now, Lori, actually, a couple of reasons Lori might be stopping by. One is the recently completed cheerleader tryouts and stuff. But more importantly...
and stuff?
More importantly, her trip overseas with the rest of the cheerleaders entertaining the troops in the Middle East. You know, I'm sure there's some interesting stories that Lori can convey.
Oh, I'm sure.
What?
Why are you giving me that look?
You're just being exceptionally creepy today.
Yeah, it happens.
It does happen, but what are you going to do? Webradio at patriots.com. Again, webradio at patriots.com. You want to give us a call like Phil in Texas did, 508-543-7482. It's one of the great songs, by the way. Nasty Girl. Vanity.
What the hell are you talking about?
In the background of that clip that he plays. Philip, you never heard Nasty Girls by Vanity?
Never heard of Vanity.
Vanity 6, I think the name of the group was, if I'm not mistaken, G. Yeah, I'm getting the nod of approval from G, the master of all pop culture references. First of all, you don't know who Vanity is?
No. Big boobs?
Then you don't know what the waist is, then, because Vanity, you know, who do you put in a... like on an upper echelon right now.
In terms of...
You know what I'm talking about.
Hot?
Yeah.
I don't know, Jessica Simpson?
She's, I mean, she was up there. Let's put it this way. She was definitely in a group of 10, I would say. Of, you know, in the mid-80s. She was definitely, she took a back seat to no one.
Wasn't she in Purple Rain?
No, that was Apollonia. Same.
The show's really deteriorating.
But anyway, she, in one of the biggest wastes, Andy, she found God. So now you don't know that the, what we've been, you know, deprived of. But she found God, she became a born-again Christian, and decides to put her clothes back on. I don't know. Well, I don't know why. I have no explanation.
I hate it when that happens.
Absolutely.
It's better when it goes the opposite way. Mariah Carey, when she got divorced from that first old man husband, all of a sudden, bam, boobs came out.
He was on American Idol last night.
Really?
Tommy Mottola.
I'd like to thank Chris for singing the PFW theme song, by the way.
Chris who?
I don't think I picked up on it. Chris Daughtry.
Who's Chris Daughtry?
American Idol. He sang this? Didn't even pick up on it.
What is this?
I don't know.
A little less conversation. By
a little less conversation.
I didn't even... Wow. That's...
Nothing. It's by Paul.
I don't that, think it... I didn't
heard that music, what, a couple million times?
It didn't sound like that, did it?
No, it sounded a little different.
Okay. Plus, I was kind of watching the Red Sox and not really paying that, you know, that close attention.
Yeah, you can hear it in the background, kind of.
This is the remix version.
Oh, okay, but that's not what they played last night. You don't have that on tape, do you? Because if it sounded like that and I didn't pick up on it, I'd shoot myself. I do remember him singing, now.
You can download the performances, you know, on...
All right, we don't need to hear that, because I know I'm going to be embarrassed. Gee, who do you think is gone?
Catherine.
Has to be. I went into the day yesterday. I told Maura upstairs, who is also a huge American Idol fan. I said,
Seacrest, out!
She hates Taylor. She absolutely hates Taylor, and I like him, because I think he's somewhat entertaining. But... I said, I think you're right tonight. It has to be Taylor's time to go. No questions asked. He's got to go. But then they sang last night, and Catherine was awful. And I really like Catherine, but she just was not good last night. Taylor, I thought, was okay on the first one, but very good on the second one. How'd you feel?
I agree.
Now, I thought Chris and Elliot were both the better two, Chris especially, but, you know, who knows? Andy's all pouty over there.
Importantly, who cares?
The voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in progress.
All right, so that's our
weekly Idol update.
That's our 5 minutes of pop culture references and American
I'm
Idol
the only
update.
One here, so no one really cares because Fred and...
Gary cares.
Yeah, but he understands
Stop being
that.
Mr. Selfish over there. You know, go back and trash Matt Cassel a little bit more.
I didn't trash him. I like him.
You're killing him.
I like him a lot.
Killing him.
He's a stud quarterback of the future.
Killing him. It was really embarrassing. Anyway, we'll get back to the emails and get this back.
I just didn't know his Pop Warner performance in December. All that pressure filled.
If you're going to call it what it is. What I call it all the time. In the JV game to end the season.
Exactly. That's a good thing. JV game. No pressure.
Yeah,
not
I know.
Like Friday Night Lights.
How do you think you go from the JV to the varsity, my friend?
No, no, no.
You don't do it by going, 7 of 24.
Certainly not the same thing as lining up against, you know,
I didn't say it was the same
with the
thing.
Lights of Friday night and a couple thousand fans in the crowd.
More than a couple thousand, my friend.
All right, I didn't mean to start anything.
In Odessa. Anyway, we'll get this show back to PFW in progress here and back to the Patriots. Michael is next up on email from North
Hi.
Carolina. Mike, has there been any info regarding Rodney Harrison's progress, and will he be ready for week one of the regular season? If not, when will he be?
I have no idea.
Why don't you talk about the progress that Rodney Harrison's made while I finish up
the
last slice
of pizza?
Was telling
me the story that somebody was talking to him or doing something, and he was dancing. Is it this one? Or is it this one? Is it this one? Or is it this one?
Yeah.
Can you tell which knee it is? It's this one. And bouncing around. And I talked to Eugene Wilson about it this week.
No, step it up. All work right. out even harder.
Okay.
I can't get fat like you.
Oh. that's just a low blow, Rodney. Better be careful. He could get fat someday.
He better not ever be fat in front of me. That's all I can say.
Well, he'll never be fatter than you, because you're both getting older, so you'll always be fatter than him. You'll stay equidistant in fatness. But, no, he's working hard. He's doing everything that, I mean, I think, while they'll never say it, I think as of right now, he's on track to what they'd hoped. They haven't had setbacks. But that doesn't mean he's going to be ready. This is a major injury that's more than a year to recover. So that puts him, even a year puts him into September in terms of coming back. So now more than a year, now you're in October, now you're in potential PUP land. So I just think we have to be very cautiously optimistic. You know, he's going to do whatever. He's going to work as hard as anybody. We know that. But it's a major, major, I mean, this is well beyond tearing your ACL. This is three ligaments for an older guy. I just think we have to really be cautious. And I personally have zero expectations, because then I think you look at it, wow, he made it back quicker than I thought. Or, wow, I didn't expect him to contribute this far. If I was the head coach, that'd be the mentality I'd be taking. Zero expectations. When Rodney gets out there, I'll be happy and I'll benefit from Rodney being out there. But I need to just go about my business, assuming he won't be.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I would think chances are he's going to come back but not be ready for the start of the season. Now, based on the story that Andy just told, that was relayed to us by someone who has recently done a story on him. And he was kind of joking around with the TV cameras, trying to, you know, see which one, you know, which knee was injured. You couldn't even tell which one.
Guessing it'd be the one with the scars on it.
however, that's a far cry from being actually ready to play. And, you know, to be ready to move around and such, that's one thing. But to be ready to play, that's a totally different thing. And we'll have to see, you know, when that comes. Now, also, I was, based on how upbeat he was, I was kind of with Andy on this. I thought for sure he was going to be PUP'd to start the year, probably not do anything in training camp, and sit the first 6 weeks of the season out. Now I'm starting to think that maybe he won't be PUP'd, because I think maybe he might be ready to go before that six-week window, and they might want to practice him and not necessarily make him sit out those six games if they don't have to. Now, I'm not basing that on any kind of information. I'm just going by gut feeling and some of the stuff that I've heard, not anything concrete, any information like that.
And the only other thing I would add to this situation is, we talked about it a lot last year with Teddy Bruschi returning from the stroke, that there are concerns long-term, you know, what could happen if something goes wrong. There's a similar concern here because of the severity of the knee injury, three ligament tears. If it is not fully healed to full strength, because I don't think he can play with any sort of a major brace, because I think it would limit his mobility too much. You know, the offensive linemen that have major knee problems, they throw a huge brace on them, and they can. A lot of schools now in college wear them as preventative measures. But I just don't think he'd be able to fulfill his job on the football field with a huge knee brace on. So if his knee is not back to full strength where it's safe enough to put him out there, I think that could limit him too, because beyond the three ligaments, now you're talking the whole Robert Edwards blood flow, nerve issues, and that's a concern when you have these truly major knee injuries, that if he gets hit again and everything that we repaired during the surgery is not at full strength, then there's a chance that you have an even worse knee injury that would get into suddenly he's no longer walking the same way the rest of his life. So this is not just an ACL. That's the only thing I just want to emphasize. It's not just an ACL. It's a major knee injury.
And the thing that's funny is there's a lot of different things going on right now, too, when you have... Wow, creepy.
Gary, why don't you play the opening for Lori that you've been playing all day today? Probably just the last portion that has to do with her and you know, certain things. Huh? Let's just say it involves inserting something in your throat. Yes, he deserved to be whacked.
Yeah.
Never know. Lori might stop by.
Was she a large girl?
Yes.
Big for the hip. Rummy.
She had an object deliberately inserted into her throat.
BFW in progress.
Lori, you might as well join us. we're going to talk about you, we might as well talk about you while you're in the room and talk to you.
Yeah, and as Lori gets settled in and gets...
removes the object from her throat so she can talk.
Oh, Andy, wow.
Anyway. I was wishing Gary a happy birthday, actually.
You should take that back.
That was your first mistake.
You should take that back.
I didn't say best wishes, though. So.
Ooh, you got him.
I'll tell you. I don't want to get on your bad side.
Oh, my God. It's broken.
So as Lori gets her headphones set up and gets settled in, Andy, just wanted to finish up that Rodney Harrison stuff. Dante Culpepper, same kind of thing. No one's expecting him to be ready for the start of the season.
Right.
Now, Carson Palmer had just the torn ACL that was suffered in January, obviously. Some people are saying that he'll... You know, the Cincinnati camp is saying he's going to be ready, but a lot of people are really questioning that. I mean, can you be ready in 9 months?
Yeah.
8 months?
Well, I think the Palmer thing was a little bit more than just an ACL.
Yeah.
It wasn't as severe as Culpepper or Harrison. It was a little more, but he is supposedly on track. I guess, read similar things to you, so.
Marvin Lewis said something definitively that he will be ready.
You know, maybe it has something to do. He can get away with a knee brace. You know, that's one of the things, too. Not a lot of lateral movement from a Carson Palmer. He's a drop-back kind of passer. Harrison and even Culpepper, to some extent, their game is more predicated on being able to move laterally, quick movements, different directions. So, I mean, that could be part of it, too. And they have a more severe injury. And for Culpepper, you know, working out in a Walmart parking lot to do his rehab probably wasn't the most beneficial to his return.
Certainly not. And
according to Brad Childress.
I'm just going to finish up on Michael's email here. Bringing in Maroney, what does that do to Kevin Falk's job? They're down back like usual, or what? I would say that we both probably think that this doesn't affect Kevin Falk at all.
Well, I'm not so sure. I don't think it does initially, but in talking to, and this is just strictly on talking to his college running backs coach, he thinks that Lawrence Maroney can be a well above average pass catcher in the NFL, a big play guy. So if we're going to assume... In terms of his workhorse style, he's going to maybe take some carries from Corey Dillon. If he's the big play guy that he's supposed to be, and his numbers proved it out, he had a lot of big plays, and his hands are as good as his college coaches think they could be, I think there is a chance that we see him used maybe at times in a third down situation or in a passing situation where in the past maybe the only option you had to turn to was Kevin Falk.
Yeah, I just think that in general it's going to be a similar kind of role for Kevin Falk because even I think initially, you know, obviously they're not going to want a rookie necessarily doing the Kevin Falk role right now with the pass protection responsibilities he'll have. And then I think next year he's going to be the feature back, Maroney. And,
right.
You know, I don't think they're going to want him to do absolutely everything, you know, carry the ball 25 to 30 times a game and catch the ball. 4 or 5 times a game, you know, the way Falk does now. So I think Kevin, as long as Kevin remains productive in his role, and, you know, let's face it, he's in his 30s now, too. So who knows how much longer that's going to be. But as long as he remains productive in his role, I think he'll have it.
And a little side note, he's going into the
Louisiana State University Hall of Fame or just the Louisiana?
No, I believe the university.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that was kind of unclear today in the paper.
He referenced Shaq, Pistol Pete. Although I'll be honest, I went to look at the list from the hall, and the last member to be inducted for football last year was another former Patriot. Can you guess?
Rohan Davey?
No. Tommy Hodson.
Tommy Hodson was a pretty good player at LSU.
I know. But you see the big names.
Why are you making fun of me? Why are you making fun of me? Rohan Davey, another former Patriot at LSU? I don't know.
I don't even think he was that good there, though. Tommy Hodson, I'm assuming, was much better than Rohan Davey.
He was.
Okay. Tommy Hodson was here, and it was kind of a nobody.
All right, they signed some linebackers.
Cornerback out of LSU.
Lloyd and Gardner with unsigned rookies like Roach. Is there any chance these guys will start on the opening day roster, most likely the veterans? Ooh. What about Mincy? We kind of talked about the linebacker situation earlier. Does Deion have a chance to get 1,000 yards this year? Okay, looking forward. Well,
he's got a solid chance.
Seeing that he had 998 last year, and they don't really have a ton of wide receivers in the roster, I would say he has a very good chance.
Unless he gets taken away.
Of doing that. All right, Lori's here, Lori Baranski. And obviously, first off, Lori, you wanted to talk about the trip.
The trip?
The trip that you and...
The Patriotic World Tour.
How many of your... did all your teammates go? How many?
There were 6 of us.
6 of you went. Yep. So
it was called the Patriotic World Tour?
Patriotic World Tour.
And we went all around the world.
That would have been nice to know that. It would have been a much easier phrase to say when I was filling in atrociously on Patriots Today. Just, you know, talking about how you were overseas with your cheerleader teammates, entertaining the troops and whatnot.
And
but it would have been nice to say, as part of the Patriotic World Tour.
Boom, done.
Bang.
Jackpot.
So what was it like? What were the experiences like?
It was awesome. We got to
speak as long as you want. I need a break.
Keep drinking that Pepsi. We went to Japan, Iraq, South Korea, some other undisclosed places we're not allowed to say, Germany, Turkey, Hawaii. It was awesome. All the troops were very, you know, into it, and we had a good time.
Sounds like the typical Gary Gerdecki vacation.
Yeah, he wishes.
Now, were any other teams involved? Or just,
no, it was just
the Patriots?
Just
Patriotic World Tour, not the Cowboys World Tour.
Well, it was Patriotic World Tour, so it was us.
Now, Patriot in it. Now, Andy, do you think if the Seattle Seahawks cheerleaders were over there, they would have still called it the Patriotic World Tour?
But it wouldn't have made as much sense. They're the Patriots cheerleaders.
I'm going to take Andy on this one.
Thanks.
Whatever.
We
it's
do wear red, white,
and blue. That's because you're a Joe fan.
Red, white, and blue. America's team.
Very cool. But we were part of a whole show. There was
what
a comedian.
What comedian?
Dick Hardwick.
Dick Hardwick.
Thanks a lot. You set me up for that.
Now, why did I just know that Andy could not keep a straight face on that one?
And I don't even know who it is.
Never heard of him.
Well, he was very cool. He was very funny. Nice guy. There was Russell.
Is that his real name?
Yes, real name. Dick
Hardwick. Did you ask him? I don't think his real name is
That's
Dick
his real
Hardwick.
Name. Richard Hardwick. We call him Dick. Anyway, Restless Heart, a country band. The Safey Band, which is the Air Force band.
Restless Heart?
Yes.
Never heard of Billy Bear.
Hummingbird? No.
Sing a little bit of it.
No. I'm no American.
She was not a Patriots idol.
No. And who were you?
So.
No, oh, but wait. And Lee Greenwood, obviously.
We all know him.
Focus. Okay. You want to sing a little bit of that?
No, I don't sing. Now, is this just the Army? Like, how does this work?
It's an Air Force tour, so we go to all Air Force's base around the world.
Okay. And you flew on some cool planes?
Very cool military planes. We got to sign a missile, which was very exciting. A wall in one of Iraq's hospitals had set up for us to sign. That was cool. We went to another hospital in Germany, Landstuhl.
How was the food?
The food on base is good. It's like regular food. You have so much to choose from. It's like going to Ponderosa, you know?
Really?
Yeah. It's a good time.
None of those little packets that you got to, like, open and pour a little water in and it makes, like...
Leave it to Andy, too. Andy's wondering about, you know, the food. You know, what's the food called? What kind of accommodations did you have over there?
Well, I guess that's fair. I mean, we were in a
picture
desert.
Here.
I'm not saying it was a dumb question. I find it ironic that Andy's first question is about food.
So how does it work? Where'd you leave from?
We left from Arizona. No, I lied. We left from Georgia.
So you fly to a base in Georgia?
I know. I meant to say Atlanta, but it came out Arizona.
They sound the same, though. I see.
People,
they both end
people.
In an A.
We flew from Boston to Atlanta.
From Boston?
Wow.
I never really noticed your accent that bad before.
You guys are tearing me up over here.
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's not nice. So we left from Boston,
okay.
Went to Atlanta, and then from there we went to Germany.
How long was that flight?
7.5 hours, 8 hours.
Now, is this in a real plane or like a...
Military. The only commercial flight we had was from here to Atlanta.
But are there seats in it or are you like sitting in the back of a cargo hold?
Nope, there's seats along the walls or they'll put seats in the middle.
And do you have to dress up like a
camouflage?
No. No, I was thinking, did you have like a flight suit on? Or were you dressed like a cheerleader?
We were dressed like a cheerleader.
You flew in uniform?
Uniform being warm-up suits.
Oh...
The only time we needed we had a helmet and a flat vest was when we went to Iraq.
Because you could get shot.
Because, who knows? Safety.
Now, how many Patriots fans did you run into over there?
There was one huge Patriots fan. No,
there was one. We went to 7 countries and there was one.
No, there was a lot. But
Mr. Kraft will be happy to hear that.
No, there's one huge Patriots fan. He was a doctor at the hospital in Iraq.
Yep.
And he had pictures of Gillette Stadium, pictures of the Patriots cheerleaders, the regular Patriots, all over the place.
I'm not a doctor.
So he was nuts.
Thunderstruck was playing when we walked in. It was awesome. He had a cap thingy, what are they called? The doctor's room? I don't know, anyway. But it was the Patriots.
The mask?
No, not a mask. It's what doctors put on top of their heads.
Oh, okay.
You know.
I don't know what it's
cap
called.
Cap thingy.
See, he doesn't know what it's called. But yes, we ran into a lot of Patriots fans. A lot of, like, other teams fans as well. But they didn't care. It was All for the same cause, so.
Hot girls were in front of them, so they pretended they were Patriots fans.
Hey, go Pats.
I'll take that as a compliment, thank you.
The Dave Crisoli, go Pats.
Yeah. And then, so you went from Germany to?
To Turkey.
See, I know nothing about Turkey. What's Turkey like?
We had to stay on base, so we never really got to go off base. But Turkey is just a lot of mountains, a lot of rural areas. And from what I hear, there's a lot of good shopping and stuff like that, but we weren't allowed to go off base, so.
And you performed at every base you were at?
Mm-hmm.
Like a little routine? How long? Like?
It's an hour. It's about an hour to an hour and a half long show, and we're throughout the whole thing. We don't dance for an hour and a half.
Dick Hardwick open?
We do join Dick for a little while.
Cheerleaders love Dick.
That's not funny.
Gary.
The comedian.
Stop
it's
it.
His name.
Gary. And he's doing it again.
What? The man's name
if
is
I was
Dick
enough, I'd
Hardwick.
I can't
help what his name is. Now, would I have seen him in anything?
What do you mean, anything? Did you watch Patriots today? You two joined Dick for a little while.
No.
That wasn't good. Stop. Did you watch Patriots today?
No.
This week's? There's a whole section on
this week's, last week's.
I didn't even watch them when I did it.
I don't think I can watch them.
That's not nice.
Do you know how long? Do you know how long it takes to watch it on our computer? Seriously?
Did you read our paper?
Yes. I just got it yesterday, actually.
And did you read it? I didn't say did you get it.
Looked
I said did you read it?
You lied.
Look at the pictures.
I'm not.
Okay, we're even. We don't watch you. You don't read us.
I do read you.
Okay, wait. So after Turkey to Japan?
To Iraq. Then back to Turkey. Then to Japan. Then to South Korea. Then back to Japan. Then to Hawaii.
And this was about, what, 3.5 weeks?
This was
3 weeks?
16 days.
Okay, not quite that long.
No.
2.5 weeks.
That's a lot of traveling to do in
60 hours.
Yeah, that's
and then you went from Hawaii back to Georgia?
Yes.
So you literally went all the way around the world?
Yes, literally.
Wow.
What was the highlight?
7,000 miles.
Is there one highlight that stood out? Besides the fact that you were very ill when you got back and could barely speak.
My favorite show was in a place I can't tell you about, but there was just so many soldiers that... Well, a lot of the bases we were on, they had their families and stuff that were all stationed there with them. But not this base. It was like, you know, just all the soldiers. And they were just so excited to see us. They're allowed 3 beers a day. And that's their cap. So they have, like, the little cards, and then they must have had their 3 beers, and they were just having a good time. But other than that, we had a day off in Hawaii, which was good. We got to get a little tan. That was fun.
Good stuff.
Very nice.
Very good. It was a good time.
And
I
then
suggest watching Patriots Today to see all about it.
Yes, absolutely. Patriots Today, which now it's Thursdays, right?
Last Thursdays.
Last Thursday's edition of Patriots Today up on Patriots.com, I'm sure, now. And we had cheerleader tryouts as well.
We did. This past weekend was finals.
How'd that go?
That was fun. It was a good time. 24 people made it.
Did you make it?
I did.
Now, wouldn't that have been ironic
if
the host of Patriots Today, who happens to be a cheerleader, Lori Baranski, somehow didn't make it the second time around or the third? This is your third year.
This is
year,
my third and
third
final
year.
Season.
So this is, oh, wow.
You'd have to change your little tagline at the end. I'll see you in the stands because I'll have to buy a ticket because I'm no longer a cheerleader.
Just like all you schleps, I'll have to buy a ticket.
Yeah, but
I told everybody that they wouldn't be seeing me on the sideline.
That's what you said at the end?
That was my
bad. That was creative.
Pretty creative, huh?
Yeah, I know. All right, then.
So what's the new team like?
Well, I'm not really sure just yet. Right now they're really good looking. We haven't really had a time to sit
really
and talk.
Really good looking?
Yeah, everybody's really pretty. It's good squad.
That's a.
I haven't had a chance to check
start.
This out yet, but that would be.
It's on the web.
I would think.
It's on the cheerleader page.
So there are photos available of the new 24-man squad on Patriots.com right
man
now.
24-man squad.
24-woman.
What are you thinking?
Easy.
Yeah, you can.
No, you're talking about Dick Hardwick.
I'm not a cheerleader. I don't love Dick.
Anyway.
Oh boy. So they
have their first uniform fitting tonight, so that'll be exciting for them.
But not you.
Well,
you have the same uniform?
Yes.
You don't get new uniforms every year?
Well, we do, but right now I don't have to be fitted because I was already fitted a couple years ago.
You don't change?
Evidently not.
Paul looks nothing like he used to look a couple years ago.
Well.
Pants have gone out a couple sizes since then.
You know, more than a couple years ago. I've been hovering around the same weight for a while now.
So you don't get measured again?
Unless something has changed.
And nothing's changed,
and
apparently.
And nothing has changed.
There you go. And as Steve Burton would say, there you go.
Good stuff. And this was, getting back to the tour thing for a minute, this was your You've done this before, right?
Well, this is my first Air Force tour. I did a Navy tour, which is completely different.
Because one's on boats.
Right. One's on ships, and you can't go anywhere.
Which did you like better?
I don't know. They're so different. It's not one over the other.
So the Navy one was all boats?
All boats. You went from one boat to the other, and, I mean, we slept on the boats, and we, you know, ate in the mess halls. And
did you get seasick?
Nope.
It was these aircraft carriers or, like...
For the Navy tour?
Yeah.
It was helicopters from each one or these...
No, but, I mean, the boats you slept on, were they, like, aircraft carriers or just, like, warships?
Somewhere. It was a whole fleet, so we went to each one in the fleet.
Now, do you take pictures and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And video? You have video on Patriots Today?
Of the sort of. One, correct. Of the Air Force tour.
Although it's limited what you're allowed to show.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of weird how they, like, did you have to sign something?
For?
Like, I mean, what if you just said safety? Right now that you said something that you weren't allowed to say, or what would happen?
Well, I know what I'm allowed to say when I'm not. We.
Well, what if you said something? Would you be, like, arrested and put in prison, or?
Not sure.
Jack Bauer would come through that door and put a gun to your head?
Call Jack Bauer.
No, but we're debriefed on the very first day. Like, this is what's going to this is what's going to happen. This is, you know, things you can't say. We had a full, the segment that's in Patriots Today, we had ready to go, and someone from the military had to watch it to make sure. And there was a couple things we had to take out, some
that's
pictures.
That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Now, do they do anything in terms of, like, do this if, like, in case you're on the base and all of a sudden you hear a siren, do this? Or, mm-hmm. like, so what was that like?
Can't tell me. A siren?
Shut up.
Shut up, you.
You can't tell me any of that.
I can't tell you the logistics, but I mean... I
can tell you, but then...
Right. When you hear something, you have to do something, and when we were informed this, we all kind of...
When you hear something, you have to do something.
But anyway, when we...
That's so true.
This,
and I'm guessing it's not run around and say, we're going to die! Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Stop it. So we just looked at each other, and we're just like, oh, okay, in the war zone. You know, just kind of realization.
So how close were you to...
We were in Iraq.
So could you, like, hear bombs and stuff?
No, we were on a base where things, you know, happen from.
Okay.
But...
I don't really know what that means.
all right, let's leave that alone.
I don't want to get you arrested here.
Please don't.
I'm going to paint a picture.
But yeah,
I think we should probably just leave it alone.
Okay. Watch Patriots Today and people will get a taste
right.
of
for, yeah, for a better for a better taste and understanding, I think...
And stuff that we know has already been approved by the military.
The viewing of Patriots Today would be... for those interested, and I'm going to actually have to check this out, especially when I know that...
You had one already.
Because you know how long it takes to watch it at our computers?
You can watch it on my computer.
We don't have real stuff. We don't have real equipment here at the stadium.
Dial-up internet.
Let's turn it over. Patriots Football Weekly's Andy Hart. Andy?
Thanks, Lori.
Thanks, Lori.
Large number of ways.
Anyway, let's take another break. We'll come back. We'll hit more emails here for the last half hour. But good stuff. Patriots Today, Thursday, every Thursday, there'll be a new show. But last week's show with all of the Patriotic World Tour footage is up and available right now on Patriots.com. So check out Lori's stuff. We'll be back in a moment.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Rams.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
There it is! Gillette Stadium explodes!
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks. Get your kicks and get the revolution.
Hi, this is Taylor Twoman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy.
Free kick, diving header by Dempsey.
The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! Taylor
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy.
We do join Dick for a little while.
Back for the last half hour of PFW in Progress. Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Lloyd Baranski.
We do join Dick for a little while.
Enough.
I'm hitting all of you.
Andy and Paul, the two most immature people on the planet, being one-upped by Gary,
who continues to play the sound bites. We do join Dick for a little while. Enough! You're making your birthday going to be a very bad one.
All right, we have a lot of emails here, so I don't want to stand up the
Northern
listeners.
Nor just make dick jokes the whole time.
Exactly. So John in Colorado is next up. I checked the roster this morning and counted 95 players currently under contract. That is correct. I counted yesterday.
That is actually incorrect.
Not under contract, just on the roster.
Okay.
Knowing that the Patriots always seem to find one or two undrafted free agents that make the roster, I think that training camp competition for the final roster spot this year will be fierce. I will predict that Freddie Roach makes the team, and I think that some everyday names that we are used to hearing will not make the final 53 on September 2nd. The first three that come to mind are Patrick Pass, Larry Izzo, and Dan Freaking Klecko. I will be interested in hearing any opinions you have as to what veterans are in jeopardy. Andy Hart.
I agree with two of the three. I'm not sure about Izzo.
I think Izzo is as close to a lock as you can get.
I actually also think Izzo is a guy that they are comfortable throwing in there on defense when they need to. I don't think they want him playing. I'm not saying that. But I think he's a guy that is obviously a career special teamer, dominant in that role. And I think as a roster guy, if they lost one or two linebackers in a game, wouldn't feel, oh, crap, the game's over to put Larry Izzo on the field. I think they have some confidence in him as a defensive player.
And I think generally they have one undrafted free agent that makes the roster.
And I say it won't be Freddie Roach, simply because he's the obvious choice.
They might have more than one during the course of the season because of injuries. You know, like they might add a Sean Mayer or someone
right.
like that during the course of the year. But generally to say that they have more than one, I think, is overstating it a little bit.
And I just wanted to clarify, the 95-person rule, they can all, it's 80 people on the roster, 80-man limit. Plus the number of guys you have in Europe. I think they have seven.
Yeah.
So, but the 10 rookies, draft picks, are not on the roster technically right now. They haven't signed a contract.
Right.
So you are over the roster limit if you were to sign all your picks. So there's going to be some minor roster moves through there. There's a good chance that, you know,
they signed 15 guys for undrafted free agents. There's a good chance
right.
that four or five of them are gone after this weekend.
Or it could be I don't know, one of the lower-level John Stones, John Kondo types, a couple of those. If the rookies impress, a couple of those guys are gone because
right.
they will have to get down. Once they sign everybody to start training camp, they will have to get down to whatever it is. It's 87 or, you know, and they're probably not going to cut the Europe guys simply because they're free bodies that don't count against your roster. So they're probably going to have most of those guys in camp. Of course, that doesn't take into account Rodney Harrison on PUP or any of those guys starting on PUP. So, there are a lot of different ways they can tweak it, but all 95 guys won't technically be on the roster to start camp.
But I
what
do
happens
think
if they keep them? On
they
there?
Can't.
If they just physically
yeah.
can't.
Let's not go down that road.
Do they get penalized or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
you just can't.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I don't
Why
really.
Can't you talk about the places you went. You
just can't.
Can't.
I mean, I really don't know how to explain that other than it's against the rules.
The end.
So I don't really know.
I think they bump some of the guys off the roster and they're not on your team.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a penalty for, you
How
know,
come the guys
say,
in Europe don't count?
Because they want teams to send people to play in Europe, so as an incentive, will allow you to not count these guys.
And they only
roster.
Don't count until the end of training camp. It's not once
right.
the regular season starts, then they
count.
Yeah.
No,
and
no,
they
then
have
they go back
time.
To really not
and
counting
they go,
because they're not on the team anymore.
Oh.
No offense to any of the guys in Europe.
Which is true. But I do agree with Patrick Pass and Dan Klecko as being two main candidates.
And I said that day one because I thought Garrett Mills kind of fulfills a lot of the roles that those two guys
right.
fill. And Klecko's a guy who's kind of at the end of the run here. He's not a backup defensive lineman, really. He couldn't make the transition to linebacker. okay, he had a little bit of success, I guess, as a fullback and on special teams, but you don't last long if that's your only
Any other veteran type that you think?
Veteran?
And I don't mean like a, you know, Hank Poteet or an Eric Warfield. I'm talking about a guy who's been around for the last couple of years, several years, and probably won't be. Maybe a Russ Hochstein, Marquise Hill.
I think Marquise Hill might be likely. I would say Russ Hochstein less likely. Gene Merchkowski likely. I think Hochstein's here simply because of the unknown with Dan Copit. He might be your starting center right now.
Could be. He's also entering the last year of his contract, too, so you could kind of have him around and then...
Right. And he can play all three interior positions, and you've seen him do it at a Super Bowl-type level. So I think, you know, he sticks.
All right. Stan the Man's next up. With rookie camp coming... Will there be any coverage? I believe a few years ago you did have some. Why not this year? Was it 03?
Because camp hasn't happened
yet. Camp hasn't happened yet, Stan.
Cover it if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit. You know, Tom and I will be here. I'll be here on Saturday. Tom will be here on Sunday. Look at Patriots.com. Also, I'm sure the shows, I'm not sure. Patriots, do they have anything on rookie minicamp?
On Monday.
On Monday, there'll be a show for Patriots today.
Mm-hmm. Minicamp recap.
That's
and
right.
PVN, for our Comcast viewers, PVN will have, I'm sure, the coverage as well. I am very optimistic about this year's draft and undrafted free agents. I really think a few of those could step up, not this year, but in time. Freddie Roach could be a big addition to the inside linebacker mix, as well as Pierre Woods on the outside. Brenell Brown is smallish, big-hearted player who will make it in time. There's also mammoth linemen like Randy Hand and Brian Buff. Thelemess, I don't know how to pronounce that
name. I don't like that name.
Sam Smith also could be a hard-hitting safety. Drame or Drame.
That's the guy I didn't know how to say.
In time, with weight and experience, might be a decent defensive end prospect.
I virtually guarantee all these guys he's listening are not going to stick around. One might make the roster, a couple might make the practice squad and a chance to earn a role, but... Let's not go overboard.
Wide receiver Eric Davis may also be an interesting prospect at wide receiver. Have you heard about any players who we brought in for a tryout? I have heard that running back Patrick Cobbs may be in 5'9", 205 out of North Texas. Will be interesting. I am very optimistic for this year. Great show as usual. I agree with Andy. I think when you start talking about these possibilities as undrafted free agents, if they had this much promise, they would have been drafted. I mean, there's very few guys that make a big impact without getting drafted in the NFL.
Yes, and I do not know the name right now, but there's a kicker that is reportedly going to be in on a tryout basis, and there'll probably be a couple others we haven't heard of. Somebody was telling me there's a Brown kid who hasn't really latched on anywhere, that there's a chance maybe he could be here on a tryout basis. So there will probably be 2, 3, 4 names in addition to the 25 free agents and draft picks.
All right, let's see. Al is in Georgia. I see after the draft...
Arizona?
That's not funny.
Wow.
That's a low blow. Just wait.
I see after the draft, the team has signed a couple of veteran retread linebackers. Well, whoopee! That's what I was looking for. I suppose these signings are supposed to take some PR sting from, again, not drafting any linebackers this year.
No.
Supposedly a deep draft for the linebacker position. Last year we had 17 in camp. As reported by PFW, how many do you think will present themselves this year? 27? 37?
69.
You can move Jarvis Green into the line and go with a 4-3 because we do have excellent depth in the defensive line. I disagree with that. But you sacrifice something on the edge when you reduce the number of linebackers. Willis McGahee and Ronnie Brown can turn the corner if they get the blocking they need. This is going to be an interesting year in terms of stopping the run.
Not.
So, Al, not sold on the personnel moves so far. Andy, what do you think of that?
He sounds like he's a little upset.
Sounds like you.
Hey, I'm not upset.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. I think the point he made about depth was that you have 4 for 3 spots technically right now. So that, I don't think he's saying beyond that because I don't think there is much beyond that.
Yeah, I don't think they have
linebacker, you have negative depth because you have 3 for 4 spots, possibly.
I don't think there's that much of a difference, to be honest with you.
So you would Jarvis Green and Monty Beisler are the same player?
More or less.
Okay. Could be. Did you say no?
I think Jarvis Green might be a little bit more.
I'm not going to say.
You've got to have an opinion on this show.
Yeah, come on.
You're
the host of Patriots Today. You're not just a pretty face.
You like Monty Beisler?
I do.
I know why.
Why?
Because he's a PR man himself.
Monte Vizel.
In which case, we can talk.
His wife's like a Miss Kansas.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, she was, I never knew.
Went to L.A. She's in the modeling
She's
business.
Very attractive.
I don't know her.
Oh, I thought maybe there was like a cheerleading tie-in or something. She was like a former cheerleader, and you had the, you know, the bond, the unbreakable bond
the
cheerleaders have.
You had like the bond.
So you like Monte Vizel, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a you're in a minority.
Not that I don't like Jarvis Green.
No, I know, but you're in a minority because he is not really a fan favorite around here. Yeah.
And I don't think
and
that
I think that's why I like
I
him.
Lean towards your side. I like him.
I just don't think there's that much of a difference in those two
I don't really
in terms
either.
Of their impact.
Contract wise and the way the team has invested in them, there's a significant
no question
difference.
About that.
I have a question. A little theory here, and it could play itself out in a number of different ways. But in theory, let's just say Mike Vrabel stays on the inside. So you have a hole at outside linebacker. Do you maintain the pairing of Colvin and Seymour? Because that's what you kind of wanted from the get-go. It gives you...
Try to even
you
it know, off.
It's crazy. Or do you move Colvin to the other side and say, Richard Seymour is my best defensive player, so I'll put him matched up with whoever plays outside linebacker, a lesser talent on paper.
Right. I think someone wrote in and asked that.
Oh, they did?
On an SPL.
Is that where I got it from? I may have stolen it. But anyway, what's the answer?
I would keep Colvin and Seymour together because I feel, for a couple of reasons. Number one, I thought that was a pretty formidable tandem last year. Now, whether it was coincidence or not, I thought that worked well late in the year. Colvin played his best football as a Patriot, and Seymour is Seymour always. Doesn't matter who he's with. Now,
if you need to know how much Paul loves Seymour, read the latest edition of Patriots Football Weekly, where he has a commentary that's Chiefs. Gary, you want to play that soundbite? You know, anything you use when you go golfing and you need to clean your ball, you wash the balls.
There you go.
Yep, there it is. A little ball washing going on.
It's good mentality around here.
That's because Seymour told me once that he liked my little articles. You know, your little writing, I think you said something like that.
So you would maintain the duo and just say...
You do join Dick for a little while.
That's always going to be funny.
No,
not just
no,
today.
You
that's going to go on for months and years. No, I didn't.
And I hate you all.
It was accidental.
It.
The reason that I wouldn't mind, because I feel like, all right, you're inviting the opposing offense to, say, maybe run away from Seymour, but fine. If they want to do that, that's fine. I mean, if it becomes a problem, then obviously you have to address it but and make adjustments. I just feel like you're kind of dictating to the offense where you think they're going to go, and I think that if that's the case, you can make adjustments to stop that pretty easily.
Okay. I just think
I like the way Seymour and Colt. No, I think it's a very good question. Do you even you try to even off your talent a little bit, or do you know just stick with what you're doing and stick in say Tully Bantakane on the outside, you know,
right.
on the opposite side of Seymour? I don't know. It's a good question.
I personally think it's a useless question because I think Vrabel goes to the outside and. You're talking about somebody playing inside. Monte Vizel, Laurie's favorite player, who, by the way, spoke with him yesterday.
How'd that go?
He was very good.
That's why Andy likes him today, because he talked to him yesterday.
He's ripped, first of all. He's put on a good 10 pounds of muscle this offseason.
Good.
He's up right around 250. Dropped a little body fat. And was very honest and honest and forthcoming about his year last year and kind of being the whipping boy at times for negativity on the defense and different things and, you know, moving forward and looking forward to the new season and hoping he's a better fit. Had just returned yesterday morning from L.A. with your friend, his wife.
on the red eye. Share that bond.
That cheerleading bond.
It was a wide-ranging interview. He had just enjoyed a case of Dick Vermeil's wine. Another Dick.
You do join Dick for a little while.
I knew her coming.
But anyway, I personally believe he's going to be a player for this team this year. I think at the end of the year, people will be surprised how much he contributed, how much he played on this defense, and he will have a different kind of view in the general public, other than the view you and I share in that he might be a pretty good football player.
And not surprisingly, Laurie, Andy has changed overnight his opinion of Monte Vizel.
That is
after
totally...
After speaking with
totally
him. That's generally how it works.
I've been preaching for months
that
Monte Vizel could start on the inside with Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah.
I ripped him
last year. But not because
exactly. Well, it didn't happen overnight. I came to this realization over a lot of thought this offseason.
Because he was nice to you yesterday?
No. But that
helped. That's all it takes with Andy. Andy would be...
Did he give you any food?
No.
Monte.
Then I'd say he's the best linebacker on the team. Maybe even a bottle of Dick's wine.
Anyway, Jake is next up in Enfield, Connecticut. So have you guys heard anything else about Ty Law? I can't believe he hasn't signed with another team. Do you think he'll realize at some point he may be asking for too much loot?
Nope.
Do you think the longer he stays unsigned, the better chances are that he'll sign with us?
Nope.
I don't think we'll pay him anything that he wants.
Why do you think that the longer he's unsigned, that's not good for the Patriots?
Well, hey, what's up, Bill? How you doing?
I think the only thing is it allows him to still be signed because he's not on another team.
So you don't think the chances increase or decrease? It's just
really.
That he's still unsigned.
Right. I don't think he's going to cave in and suddenly sign for the veteran minimum. Now, maybe he'll come down a little from whatever it is,
$10 million,
$7 million a year, but I think you have to pay him. I think he's a guy who would walk away or sit out until somebody gets hurt.
I think he's going to get half of that, and I think he'll get $5 million.
Probably, and he should.
That's some sort of guarantee. If Will McGinnis got six, right. I think he's going to get at least five.
He's better.
All right, Dave is next up, and over here in the UK, we have football paper called First Down. In last week's edition, they graded all the team's drafts with scores between 1 and 10. The Patriots were graded an 8, the highest. The only other teams graded 8 were Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and New Orleans. Would you agree with these? Philadelphia, I thought, and Tom was making a lot of references to that last week. He thought Philadelphia did very well.
Because they essentially did the same thing the Patriots did. Considered two players in the first round and ended up with both of them thanks to an early second round.
Now, what about Pittsburgh and...
Pittsburgh, I don't really know what they did. And New Orleans, great draft because they got Reggie Bush. He's fell in their lap. I think that's tremendous.
That makes any draft a great draft. I think they got the best player.
He could be the best player in years if you believe people that say, you know, he's a generational type talent. Easy, Paul.
What is that?
No, guys, go
what
ahead.
Was that in the background? I was looking actually in the truck.
He's looking for the Spanish channel.
Well, that's what we watch every week.
I think
week.
I skipped by it. I haven't seen any boobs.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on to Jeremy in Newmarket, New Hampshire, because Andy's...
Are you offended by me watching the Spanish channel?
Yes, in fact, I think I might see you.
Wow.
Good luck with that.
All right, Jeremy, I got
to... First of all, you have to get in line.
Can't get blood from a stone. Yeah, Maura's ahead of that line. Maybe you guys can be what do they call them?
Plaintiffs.
Plaintiffs.
What were you going to say?
Prosecutors. I think we may have found it.
And there we have it.
Young lady with a suede jacket that's low cut and wide open.
God bless her. Anyway, Jeremy is in Newmarket, New Hampshire. I can't wait to hear how the rookies look after their weekend minicamp. I want some Maroney in-depth coverage, man. I read today that Matt Light is progressing fairly well and expects
Take
to contribute.
Me home, country road,
oh, that's
to
bad.
The place that I belong, West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country road.
Holy, it's that bad.
Nice.
How did you get him to do that?
It was on the Friendly Scoop or whatever it is. On,
oh, there you go.
If he had a little music with that, it wouldn't be as bad.
No. Well, certainly a lot better than I could do.
Clearly.
There's a
tune. Take me home.
You like that?
It's a nice little tune. Who is it?
Matt Light.
Oh. Who knew?
Have you seen him around?
No.
Well, interesting that you should ask. Cause
I sat down with him yesterday.
Andy's also in love with Matt Light. He talked to him yesterday, too.
I'm in love with him.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy, but I didn't fall in love with him. He's the same as he's always been.
How does he look?
Has your heart?
That's an interesting question, Andy, because I know that you had a comment about his appearance.
I asked him because he's had trouble keeping weight on in the past when he was injured, when he had that appendix thing, he lost
problem
weight.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. he claims he's at the same playing weight that he was at when he got injured, and he actually said, he admitted, probably not the same distribution of the weight. It's not necessarily all muscle. You know, it might be a little more muscle he needs to gain back. But he didn't appear to me to be... He looked like he was like 275 pounds, which would be approximately 30 pounds below playing weight. Maybe that's, you know, over-exaggerating, but I didn't think he was a 300-pound left tackle.
I did see him in the parking lot yesterday after Andy and I had this conversation, and I agreed. He did look thin.
He looked
thin.
Little.
He did look thin.
I think Matt Light's one of those 300-pound linemen who struggles to, in normal situation, to keep his weight on. He'll be one of those guys that retires and loses a lot of weight. And I think right now he's underweight. But there's still plenty. I mean, we're talking right now May, June, July, August, 3 months-ish to put on some more weight, to get to playing weight. And he said that. He said, I haven't put the pads on. I haven't played in a year. So it's going to take me a while. But the biggest thing was he was very positive about the rehab, how hard he's working out, no setbacks, and moving forward right now, which was the problem last year. You know, they wanted him back in December. He wanted to be back in December, and he had the setbacks, obviously went on IR, and but now it seems like it's actually going forward.
All right, Jeremy's email continues. This year I'm very excited to see what Benjamin Watson can do along with the new rookie tight end from Texas. That would be David Thomas. I'm looking for great things from the tight ends this year. I want a Ben Coates-like season for Ben Watson. Any chance of Watson surpassing Coates' 1994 production, 96 receptions for 1,174 yards?
Absolutely no chance.
Now, why do you say that?
Because I would think there's no chance. When was the last time the Patriots had a receiver who had 96 catches for how many yards? 1,200 yards?
1,174.
Yeah, no chance. No chance. Plus, I don't think he'll stay healthy for 16 games. And I just don't think it's the way the offense works. I think it'd be a tremendous season for a wide receiver to have 96 catches and 1,200 yards here. That's not their philosophy.
The 96
catches. That was Drew Bledsoe looking for Ben Coates a lot.
Well, he also.
Tom Brady not looking for.
The other part of that is they threw the ball almost 700 times that year, and there was, four other guys had more than 50 catches. Kevin Turner, Leroy Thompson, Michael Timpson, Vincent Brisby, and Ben Coates all had more than 50 catches.
That was the year Kevin Turner made Drew Bledsoe.
And that was out of necessity because their leading running back, Marion Butts, made Corey Dillon in 2005 look like Corey Dillon in 2004. That's how bad their running game was then. They had to throw the ball on virtually every down, and it was amazing. They finished 10-6, just like the Patriots did last year. I think the 96 catches is out of the realm of possibility, but I don't think the 1,100 yards would be out of, for a receiver. I don't think necessarily Watson's ready for that, for the reasons that Andy...
I would be shocked if he had 1,100 yards.
For the reasons that Andy said. I don't think a tight end is going to be the leading receiver, and, Watson has been... he was fairly healthy last year, but, I just think that tight ends are asked to do a lot here in terms of blocking, and I think you're going to get nicked up a little bit.
I will say he has the right guy talking about him having a breakout year, and that's the quarterback, Tom Brady.
Exactly.
Mentioning him in terms of becoming one of the, quote, premier tight ends in the league.
We were talking about possibilities at backup quarterback if Doug Flutie were to retire and not be welcomed back here, which one or both of those things may be true.
I don't know. You'd have to ask Doug.
Right. But Rob in Arlington, Virginia, is helping us out here. He compiled a list of free agent quarterbacks according to the NFL, according to the ESPN website. Who is your favorite below for the number two or three job with the Patriots? His is Tommy Maddox. He has Tony Banks, Jeff Blake, Kerry Collins, Ty Detmer, Jay Fiedler, Sean Hill, who I don't even know who that is, Cliff Kingsbury, Tommy Maddox, Shane Matthews, JT O'Sullivan, Dave Ragone, Cordell Stewart, and Seneca Wallace.
You're talking about Gray, Hannah, Francis.
Now, some of those guys are restricted free agents.
I still go Fiedler.
I would go Fiedler, too, but I'm going to look up Sean Hill just to see who that is. Talk amongst yourselves.
Sean Hill played for the Bucks. Oh, no, that was Sean. No. I don't know.
Who are the Bucks?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Oh, that's Sean King.
Sean King. I was close. King of the Hill. See what I did there? What do you got?
Sean Hill, Maryland. I don't know this guy.
What do you got in your hands? What is it?
Don't know him. He played one game for Minnesota in 2005.
Why would he play a dirty soundbite? That wasn't dirty.
What do you got in your hands?
Oh, good Lord.
This was my lunch, but then Fred didn't show up to eat the roast beef sub that Paul had bought Fred for lunch, so I ate Fred's sub.
You brought a lunch?
Yeah, I'm out of shakes.
Ooh.
Gotta restock.
Okay. No yogurt?
I'm out of yogurt. Going on vacation, so we're not going shopping. So
where are you going?
Next topic!
Pennsylvania and Baltimore.
Why?
To see some of my wife's family and then go to the Red Sox Orioles in Baltimore.
Boring!
You know what? You're boring. Just because my vacations don't include hopping from L.A. to Seattle to Vegas to Hawaii like Gary and Lori. Some of us are poor and just have normal little driving vacations where we rent a car. Excuse me.
Andy Hart, boo frickity who.
All right.
Andy Hart,
boo frickity
who.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, Dwayne's next up. Nothing was too interesting about In Their Own Words with Tom Brady. It was mostly archive footage of Brady talking about his career, but there was one interesting part.
I like your boobs.
They asked him about the one play he would like to erase from his career, and he referred to a late drive during a big high school game when he threw an interception in the end zone that was returned 103 yards for a touchdown.
Wow, it's kind of like the Champ Bailey play.
Oh, no.
I can't
this
even be-
can't be good.
I can't even begin to describe how similar it was to the Champ Bailey play. The funny part was that he recorded that part after the 2001 season, so I guess now he has two plays he wants to erase from his career.
Something you brought up recently, that play has been bothering him all year, and he watched himself on demand and finished a press conference talking about how careful he was going to be when throwing in Champ Bailey's direction, and he didn't follow his own advice. And not to mention the fact that he was watching his own press conference, which I have a problem with.
Right. He was joking about it, though.
Yeah, but he wasn't joking about watching the press conference. He was really watching himself. Do you go home and watch yourself all the time?
No, he said it was the first time he's ever actually seen this.
I'm also wicked handsome.
There's a lot of stuff on demand. He clearly went to, ooh, Tom Brady's talking. I'll watch myself.
He went to the Patriots.
Yeah, but then he had to choose to go to his own press conference. He could have watched a Bill press conference.
Maybe he wanted to know what press conference it was.
He could have watched PVN. He could have watched Patriots Football Weekly show.
Oh,
he could have watched anything, and he chose
here
himself. Hello, somebody's a little egomaniac.
All right, we're going to have to try to wrap these up a little bit because Andy's going off.
Wicked handsome.
He's going off in his little rants now.
You're negative. I think you're just jealous that we didn't watch your podcast.
I don't think there's any question that I would probably trade lives with Tom Brady in a heartbeat. And I dare you to find one man who wouldn't.
Dan is an Alexander.
Maybe is the only guy on earth who wouldn't say, you know, that Tom Brady, his life's not that great.
Not that good. He has to take a pounding to get all that I get.
I get a lot of pounding.
Oh, God. Anyway, Dan was listening to my little vanity rant a little while ago, so he just wanted to throw it in there that Vanity starred with Carl Weathers. I do remember this movie in an Action Jackson. Never saw Action Jackson? Along with Sharon Stone and Craig T. Nelson. Thought he would throw it out there. Thanks, Dan.
Lori, do you know who Vanity is?
No.
Good.
Do you?
No.
Who is it?
She's too young.
It's a girl?
Yeah, but you're too young to know who Vanity is.
Vanity? Other words?
Yeah, nasty girl.
Never heard it.
I don't even know what that means.
Take what out?
Dick Hardwick?
Oh, I think you know what.
I'm leaving.
Good Lord.
For a little while.
Oh, Lord, you dirty,
you
dirty potty mouth.
You.
Anyway, Gary from Syracuse, not to be confused with Gary in the studio. Do you guys think there are any free agents left out there that might fit in with this Patriots team? Andy Hart.
Ty Law. I think he would be a tremendous fit with this Patriots team. Jay Fiedler. Beyond that, I was reading a story, and it mentioned Ty Law and Ahmed Plummer as, like, the only, you know, reliable veteran cornerback still on the market. I don't know if that's accurate, but I'm assuming this writer did their research.
Who?
Ty Law and Ahmed Plummer are basically like the only veteran corners left on the market.
I want no part of Ahmed Plummer.
I don't even know. He played for the Niners, right?
I think he played for the Packers, too, didn't he?
Wait, I thought Plummer was a good thing, though. No?
Ahmed Plummer?
Yeah.
I know much
about him. I don't think he's a very good player. I don't know for sure.
So that only increases Ty Law's value to teams looking for a corner in the last minutes.
Al writes back in to Lori. It's no surprise that Lori liked the food on her tour as a 21-year U.S. Air Force vet. I can confirm that USAF food is the best, and usually you even get a fork and spoon.
Woohoo!
Did you get a fork and spoon?
And a knife.
I am from New Hampshire, but these days I live here and there is... I live here, and there is an air base in Valdosta. That's where he's down in Georgia.
Is that where you flew out of, Valdosta?
Nope, Robbins.
So Lori and the rest of the ladies are welcome anytime. There's not much here generally, but there are a lot of pilots in a huge mall. What else would they need?
So they got men and they got shopping.
I'm glad he didn't go anywhere else with that because I didn't read it first.
Nice to see Al checking in instead of being on EEI every day.
Why, he listens to EEI?
I hear him on Dale and Holly all the time.
Hey, that's right in our time.
Hmm. It gets all right, me here's someone who's taken Andy Hart to task, which I'm always in favor of. Looks like Robert. You guys are out of
not
control.
Not craft, is it?
You guys are out of control today. Did I seriously just hear that, quote, cheerleaders like Dick? Dick Hardwick, he's a comedian.
People are writing in about this.
He's a comedian. Jeez, get your mind out of the gutter.
You're getting it later.
I am really looking forward to seeing the new rookies this year and how they are used by the team. Are you guys surprised that the Patriots didn't draft Maurice Stovall? He was available when they picked in the third round. Is there anything about him that may have kept the team from drafting him, such as a lack of speed, or was it more due to the fact that they took Chad Jackson in the second round?
I think, yeah.
I think it probably had more to do with Chad Jackson than anything else. But I'm not saying that that would preclude them, because we saw them take similar players in Thomas and Mills in the third and fourth round. But I think their value combined with the fact that they had just filled a need with Jackson. Oh, his brother also went to school with me in Everett, so tell him I said hi. And
oh, great.
Keep up the good work.
Exciting, good times. Glory days. Which rookie has the biggest impact soonest?
Which rookie has the biggest impact soonest, Lori?
Maroney.
Paul?
I got to think Chad Jackson is going to have a bigger impact, because I think he's going to have a bigger role.
I'm going with Chuck as well.
I would definitely go with Maroney if I get my way and he is the feature back now.
No chance.
Never know.
You never know.
He has rookie minicamp.
No chance.
I don't give a
Unless Corey Dillon gets an injury, there's no chance that Maroney is just handed the lead.
I don't give a
We got a couple more emails. We'll rifle through them before we sign off.
But he's going to have to split time with Dillon.
Sorry, did you hear? Were you listening?
Lori, popping off over there.
I'm popping anything.
Oh, Jesus.
Not like that.
God,
oh,
are you
my God.
Potty mouth.
I'm with a room of 5-year-olds, people.
You're talking about popping stuff.
Robert, you see what I had to deal with? This is like Everett High all over again. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Jeez.
It's you two.
What? You're the one who says all the dirty sentences.
Oh, my God.
Tape doesn't lie, Gary. Say it.
Gary.
Oh, look who's all of a sudden got an attack of conscience.
You do join Dick for a little while. Gary!
That's better.
Popping off.
All right, Mike is next. Since we are in a bit of a slow period for Patriots news, I think a perfect show for next week's Patriots Today would be some footage of tonight's fitting for the new Patriots cheerleaders.
Oh, yeah, great.
Just a thought, says Mike.
I'm on board.
Great show, guys. You make me feel like it is okay to say all of those inappropriate things at work.
Oh, do you feel you're welcome? Do you see this?
Thanks, Mike.
Bravo.
Laura, you're welcome back anytime.
Oh, yeah, stop by
jokes.
Every day.
It's all
good
jokes.
Good job.
Okay,
are you serious? You're not offended, are you?
I'm suing you.
Stan the Man's not real happy with us, though.
Uh-oh.
You guys have hit a new low, or at least matched previous lows. Spare me.
Thank you.
Well, sorry about that. But, you know, the immaturity that runs amok when Andy and I are together just is unmatched. I don't know what else to tell you. But I do miss Vanity, though. And with that, I'll let Gary take us out of another wonderful edition of PFW in Progress with Nasty Girls, one of the greatest all-time strip joint songs ever.
Oh, God.
Anyway, Paul Perillo.
You too.
God.
Andy Hart, Lori Baranski, and Gary Gudecki. We'll see you next Wednesday, PFW in Progress.
But first, let's turn it over to Patriots Football Weekly's Andy Hart. Andy?
Thanks, Lori. This is a very explosive team that is big and fast and can score in a large number of ways.
You do join Dick for a little while.